It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't gonna let nothing get in the way.
With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the wild and wonderful Wednesday edition of Overtime. It is Wednesday, June 24th. Brendan Sorsby locked out. AJ DeBonsa locked in as the top pick of the NBA draft. Lot to get to as we unpack a middle of the week edition of Overtime right now. On today's program, we're talking about an upcoming event set to rock the valley, as in Rock Valley, Iowa, a couple weeks away. Thunder in the Valley. We talk with Kurt Koima later on in hour number one about that great event coming up in early July. We'll test your wits with the identity crisis at the end of hour number one. And a PSA out there: today is a day you want to win the identity crisis. We're testing your wits about a former NBA player, certainly well noted. That's all the hints for now, but what you could win is more important, and what you could win certainly is a massive, massive two-pack for an upcoming concert this weekend. Rock the Country in town 2 days at the WH Lyon Fairgrounds. I got a pair of tickets for both days with your name on. If you can tell me what former NBA player I'm talking about, Rock the Country at the Fairgrounds. Grab your tickets right now. Should be a phenomenal weekend. Kid Rock, Stain, Brantley Gilbert, and so many more great acts. Rock the Country coming your way this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's the Identity Crisis, 1140 NBA Draft Recap. BYU's AJ DeBonsa going number one overall to the Washington Wizards. And you can call me wacky, crazy, weird if you want to, but the best case scenario as currently constructed, I mean today, for DC basketball is not bad. This could be a playoff team if they really lock in, people stay healthy, you get the contributions from Anthony Davis, from DeBonsa right away. What if he is lightning in the bottle good out of the chute here in the NBA? That team with Trae Young as well could be pretty darn impressive. Not saying they're going anywhere fast, but could be back in the playoff mix before too long. Again, I'm talking about best case scenario for the Washington Wizards, but an inspired number one overall pick last night. Predictable, yes, AJ DeBonsa, number one out of BYU. We got your NBA draft recap right around the corner. In hour number two, headlines and highlights, we reset with the latest from the NFL, including comments from former Viking quarterback Kirk Cousins about his warm, cozy confines out there in Sin City. That dude has never sinned in his life, and he's out there with the Raiders and certainly is enjoying camp so far, mini camp, being around the team, taking on a unique and admirable role late in his career. His days as a starter are numbered. Some would say they're over for Kirko Change, Kirk Cousins down there in Vegas. I don't think so. I think they would be wise and astute to start him out of the chute, if you will, this year for Vegas while they get Fernando Mendoza ready to go. We'll wait and see, but commentary from Kirk Cousins in a very inspiring swan song of his NFL career. That in hour two, as well as a conversation centered up on all things Augustana Viking Athletics. Athletic Director Josh Morton joins us at the end of the show, talking about the hire made to lead the softball program into the future, and talk about the hire to be made to lead the volleyball program in the future. What's the common thread here among the hires? There's been a lot for Augustana Athletic Director Josh Morton to navigate Augie into the future, getting that hockey program off and running. They got a phenomenal coach, hiring women's basketball, softball, volleyball on the way. A lot of change here in Augustana. We talk about that and so much more with Josh Morton at the end of today's show. We'll call that conversation right at 12:40. Let's dive right into the scorecard. Major League Baseball yesterday, the Royals a big winner in Tampa, 12-5. Yankees beat the Tigers in Detroit 4-3. Elsewhere in the AL Central, you saw the White Sox beat the Guardians 2-1. Chicago back on top of the division for now at 41-37. And it's been a tough start to the series for the Minnesota Twins against the best team in baseball, the Dodgers. Things were already out of hand, and then the ninth inning came calling yesterday.
Pitch swung on and hit high in the air left field. Martin going back. Martin at the base of the wall. And Alex Call is homered for the second time in his career against the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, that drive back to Wisconsin going to be a fun one for Alex Call. Two hits. And he blasts one over the fence. The first pitch from Rogers is an Alex Call home run.
12-3 would be the final yesterday. That's Chris Atterbury on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Short and sweet postgame for Twins manager Derek Shelton.
Just wasn't a very well-played game. And then, they just took advantage. They had guys on the bases all the time.
There you go. Minnesota with that 12-3 loss, 38-43. They'll look to capture at least one victory over the Dodgers. Game three of that series, 6:40 tonight. 6 o'clock pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other notable finals, Arizona beat St. Louis 4-3. Boston over the Rockies in Denver by the final of 5-2. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Cubs and Mets get to it early, a noon start time, 12:10. To be matter of fact about it from Citi Field, Cubs at the Mets, Guardians and White Sox 1:10, Red Sox at Rockies, Royals visit the Rays, Yankees collide with the Tigers, that one 5:40 on Prime Video. Other matchups today and tonight, Brewers at Reds, D-backs at Cardinals, again, Dodgers and the Twins do it. Game three from Target Field, 6:40 start, 6 o'clock pregame right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. In the WNBA last night, you saw the Liberty take care of business against the Aces 87-76. Liberty moved to 12-6. Aces fall to 12-5. And tonight in the WNBA, Mercury at the Fever from Indianapolis, 6:30 on USA. Lynx are in action against the Mystics. That is also a 6:30 go time. Let's talk about the NBA draft. Round one was last night. Round two anticipated coming your way tonight. A lot to look forward to, including the Minnesota Timberwolves finally making a pick early on tonight. Washington Wizards selected BYU stud A.J. DeBonsa at number one overall, but it's the number two pick that has a lot of people buzzing. Darren Peterson at Kansas. There is hustle concerns, commitment concerns, love for the game concerns, the talent not a concern, and Chris Canty talking about the trajectory of Darren Peterson, who was taken second overall by Utah Jazz last night.
And I get the up and down drama at Kansas with Bill Self and will he, won't he play, and coach's decision versus player decision, questions about the people that are around him. What is undeniable, what is unquestionable, is his talent. This dude is the best shot maker in this class. The creativity that he has, the ability to pass, dribble, shoot, defend, it's elite level. Like, I know people don't want to go to the place of evoking the late, great Kobe Bryant, but it's going that way in terms of the talent, the style of play upon entry into the NBA. And so, yeah, I love Darren Peterson pairing him with Keontae George out there in Utah. They did a little bit of pre-agency trading for Jaren Jackson Jr., at the trade deadline during last season. You got Lauri Markkanen. We'll see what happens with Walker Kessler. But I like what the Utah Jazz are putting together. It's going to go up from here in terms of the talent base that's on that roster right now.
And certainly that pick is not without its risk as well. Andre Snelling's noting the biggest question mark in the draft also falls on the shoulders of the best athlete, best shot maker in Darren Peterson, going number two overall last night.
Darren Peterson, to me, he is the biggest question at the top of this draft. Is he, the guy that his talent shows him to be, a guy that could be a perennial all-star, maybe a future MVP? Or is he the one that has the questions coming out of college and his availability? The answer to that question, like, put it like this. I'm going to the Vegas Summer League in a couple weeks, and the first player that I want to see is Peterson.
There you go. A lot of questions will be answered before too long in that scenario. Third overall, Memphis addressing a big need, landing Duke star Cameron Boozer. Michelle Smallman, a big fan of that pick.
I really love the fit of Cam Boozer to Memphis. They are getting a player that I think is going to be a star right away. You get him at number three. You also make some moves to maneuver down the board forward. I thought Memphis walked away with a really good player and a really smart approach last night.
Again, beauty in the eye of the beholder. Memphis taking Boozer number 3. Chicago on the board taking North Carolina guard Caleb Wilson. North Carolina forward Caleb Wilson, rather. And Keaton Wagler of Illinois going 5th to the L.A. Clippers. Darius Acuff Jr., who many people praised in season as a can't-miss prospect, ends up as a top 10 pick. He goes 7th overall to the Sacramento Kings. Andre Snelling's favorite pick of the night.
Darius Acuff going to the Sacramento Kings. The Kings have not been a team that you look to for success in recent years. But Acuff was, I mean, the way he ended last season, he was averaging almost 27 a game over his last 8 to 10 games. He's just a walking bucket. And the Kings had a hole at point guard. They had Russell Westbrook playing some point for them last season. But, you know, on a team that you would think would like to rebuild, you don't necessarily rebuild around a player that's approaching 40. So Acuff can come in there. He's a walking bucket. And the Kings, if nothing else, they play offense. So I'm expecting Acuff to put up some big numbers and be a dark horse candidate for Rookie of the Year.
There you go. Darius Acuff Jr. out of Arkansas going number 7 to Sacramento. Other local highlights, Bennett Sturts, Northwest Missouri State to Drake to Iowa. The Hawkeye alum lands with OKC at pick number 16. And Joshua Jefferson out of Iowa State ending up with the Brooklyn Nets. That is the pick that was traded from the T-Wolves to the Nets earlier this week in that Julius Randle deal. Now, as far as broad strokes of the NBA draft, things to pick on, things to change, SVP has a simple request that makes all the sense in the world.
I have no idea how many more years that I'll be doing this, but I want to make a solemn vow to complain every single year about the single dumbest thing about draft night. Hey, congratulations. You've waited your whole life for this moment. You get to share this with your family, your friends, and the world. Here, can you put on this hat? Yeah. No, it's the wrong team's hat. It'll be the photo you have of this moment for the rest of your life. You, in the wrong hat. But, you know, the league year doesn't start until July. So, yeah, just put the hat on. Wrong hat. How hard is this to fix?
It is the dumbest thing about the NBA draft without question. Even in the wake of the Giannis deal, Miami was, quote unquote, making the pick for the Milwaukee Bucks. That was not factual. It's just weird that we leave the logos up and you get your hopes up. Oh, the Timberwolves made a pick last night. They took Joshua Jefferson. Oh, no, they didn't. That trade was actually made here, but it's not official till after this time. But yeah, that player's not going to play for Minnesota. It's just the weirdest thing. The hats make it even weirder. I understand not necessarily officially saying this pick is owned by X team because of this trade if the new league year is not yet official. But the hats, really, is it going to not go through wearing a hat for a team that has traded away the pick? In some cases, traded away you or traded away the rights to you. Makes no sense in the world. I wouldn't be taking a picture. I wouldn't even keep the hat of a team that doesn't want me just because it happens to be their draft slot. That is just a funky, weird, and frankly, dumb element of the NBA draft. In the NHL, we'll see that draft get its wheels turning on Friday through Saturday. Toronto holds the top pick, followed by San Jose, Vancouver, Chicago, and the New York Rangers. Over to the NFL. There will not be an NFL supplemental draft next month. Stunning news yesterday from the National Football League. Adam Schefter, the commentary as to why the NFL chose to not hold one coming up next month for Brendan Sorsby.
The league really does not want any part of gambling, no matter how serious it is or isn't. And anybody that has any role with that, anybody who has any accusations involved with gambling, even though the NCAA said that there were no integrity of the game violations, the league doesn't care. It's the league's supplemental draft, and the league does not want to create a supplemental draft this year for a player who has been accused of gambling. They don't have enough time to vet it. They don't care that they don't have enough time to vet it. And Brendan Sorsby is going to, I think, wind up spending this season, maybe beyond, this season, certainly, out of football, watching and getting ready for what he hopes would be the 2027 NFL draft.
There you go. It's a good point by Shefty. When you consider it in the broad strokes of the equation here, 2 weeks ago, Brendan Sorsby was ineligible to play college football because of the gambling activity and the subsequent investigation, etc., around that activity in which he placed bets, thousands of them on sports, a few of them, handful of them on his own team in his past. And again, it's behind him, but he got caught in the college game, investigated, suspended, outlawed from playing, then was granted that injunction, was eligible. I don't need to explain it to you exactly how it all went down. But the fact of the matter is, 2 weeks ago, Brendan Sorsby was ineligible to play in college. And then you're asking the National Football League in 4 weeks, 3 weeks to say, all right, let the sweepstakes begin for Brendan Sorsby. Put him in our league. We want him. I can't blame the NFL for wanting to protect their brand. And it's also worth noting, for people out there that might be against this maneuver, this is a surprising turn of events, frankly. And it might not be over just yet because, of course, there's some legalese involved. NFLPA will be petitioned to by Sorsby's camp. We'll see about what comes out there. I think the NFL is going to win this one, and Sorsby has some optionality for the continuation of his football career, college or pro. That being said, for those people that want to say, well, what about Kayshon Booty? What about Hunter Deckers? What about other examples? Kayshon Booty's investigation into his gambling activity while at LSU, he was already in the NFL. And the NFL said, okay, we can't really do much about that. Hunter Deckers, of course, you know this out there, continued his college football career at Iowa Western Community College. To his credit, played really darn well and entered the NFL as a draft-eligible player a few years ago, did not get drafted, undrafted, and now into a second chapter with the New Orleans Saints. So not apples to apples. Sorsby has not yet even gone through the process of retooling his college career. They're asking him to go ahead and move on up to the NFL, and the NFL says, no, thank you. Now, is there any comparison to this situation where a player seemingly appears to be locked out of playing major college football, locked out of playing in the NFL? What's next? And is there a comparison to the current situation? Here's ESPN's Pete Thamel.
There isn't a whole lot of precedent to this case. Look, this case wraps around Brendan Sorsby's gambling. He admitted to placing thousands of bets. There's no ambiguity there. They were on college sports. They were on pro sports. And there were also 40 bets on Indiana football while he was on the Indiana roster. That looms large in this case. NFL sources made clear to me that, you know, that there is an ethical issue looming here with Brendan Sorsby. Quote, his application carries with it a lot of issues, core integrity of the game issues. That's according to a source to myself and Adam Schefter. So look, this Brendan Sorsby case, he's not certainly the first gambler to come to the NFL, but because the supplemental draft is this nebulous world, the NFL has exercised the right to make a decision to not have one. We'll see what Sorsby's legal volley back means for his future.
And again, there is a possibility of a legal volley back from Sorsby's camp, but can you blame the National Football League on a couple fronts here for wanting to see the process play out, wanting a little bit more time to see Sorsby prove himself as over the gambling addiction, maybe prove himself additionally as a football player, personal growth? We'll wait and see what the options are. We'll dive into that a little bit deeper. Dedicated NFL segment coming up around 12:20 this afternoon. In the golf world, Travelers Championship beginning tomorrow, running through Sunday. The Open Championship running in mid-July, 16th through the 19th. Wimbledon in action in less than a week, beginning June 29th. That great tournament over across the pond going to conclude on July the 12th. And World Cup action yesterday, Ronaldo finally on the board two times over. Portugal obliterating Uzbekistan 5-0. Elsewhere, England drew with Ghana 0-0. Croatia took down Panama 1-0. And Colombia over the Democratic Republic of Congo 1-0 as well. And your scorecard at the World Cup today, you got six matches, wall-to-wall, 2 o'clock starts, all the way through 8 o'clock starts tonight. Bosnia-Herzegovina taking on Qatar at 2 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Switzerland and Canada tussle at 2 o'clock on Fox. Two games at 5. Morocco and Haiti on Fox Sports 1. Scotland and Brazil on Fox. Czechia facing Mexico, 8 o'clock on Fox. And South Africa up against South Korea, 8 o'clock tonight on Fox Sports 1. We'll dive into our first break of the day on this Wednesday edition of Overtime. A reminder, stay tuned. The Identity Crisis, opportunity to score my final pair of weekend pass tickets to rock the country this weekend. The Identity Crisis coming up around the corner. Immediately next, we're highlighting another local event on the calendar next month. That's Thunder in the Valley, Rock Valley, Iowa. We're talking with Kurt Kooyma. Coming up next on this middle of the week Wednesday, June 24th edition of Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, just getting off and running on this middle of the week Wednesday, June 24th edition of Overtime. Obviously, there are a lot of different things to fill up your summer in and around the Sioux Empire. And just to our east, across the border, out in Rock Valley, Iowa, a couple weeks away, Thunder in the Valley, an outlaw truck and tractor pull event, is on the way. We're here to talk about it with Kurt Kooyma, who is from Rock Valley, Iowa, big participant in this year's event. He joins us on the ESPN hotline right now. Kurt, welcome into the show. How you doing this week?
Good. Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, certainly, it's awesome to have you on. Let's talk about Thunder in the Valley. It's a tractor pull. For people that have never been out to a tractor pull event and people saying, what the heck is a tractor pull? Describe it for us. How does it work? How is it scored? How fun is it to be in attendance? And how fun is it behind the wheel of one of these things?
Oh, it's we have a lot of people that think it's racing. And they're like, how do you race tractors? And we're like, no, it's not racing. But basically, you hook up to a sled, which is a weight transfer device, and you see how far you can pull it. And the track is 0 to 400 feet. The vehicles range in from tractors to modifieds to two-wheel drives to four-wheel drive pickups, something for everybody. There's the horsepowers ranges from the smallest classes are about 1,500 all the way up to 8,000-9,000 horse on the multi-engine mods. So it's there's excitement for everybody. Me and two other guys have a couple tractors, one in a super farm class and one in the pro stock. And it's pretty exciting to drive them. But the only thing is, when you're driving in your hometown, it usually gives you a little more jitters.
Certainly, there's a lot of pressure. Is this a family affair for you, Kurt? How long have you been at it? And is this something that maybe your dad, your grandfather was into? Take us through your personal history with tractor pulling, especially there in Rock Valley.
We started in 1998. Not really a family affair. Now my wife and daughters come along. We're actually headed to Oklahoma as we speak to go pulling this weekend. But I've done it with some friends for so long, and that's how we really got started in it. Grew up on the farm, loved tractors, and that's kind of what drew us, the horsepower, the black smoke. And like I said, we got a little bit for everybody. You know, the tractors for all the farm kids that grew up on the farm, and then we got the pickups and diesel pickups and the modifieds for the city people that love the spark plug and gas engines.
And certainly there's a lot of action on the way. Thunder in the Valley coming up July 9th, 10th, and 11th across the border in Rock Valley, Iowa. We got some tickets to give away as we move forward over the next couple of weeks. Kurt Kooyma is our guest, racing in the Pro Stock Division out of Rock Valley, Iowa for Thunder in the Valley. Again, July 9th, 10th, and 11th. Described a little bit to us, what's it like behind the wheel? Give us a little bit of a deeper dive into the divisions and how many different tractors are in each division. How long do you think each night will take for Thunder in the Valley? How many different competitors are there and the number of divisions we might see?
We're going to run about 10 classes each night. Thursday night's going to be a little shorter show. That I think we start at 7. I think we're running 7 classes on Thursday night. Typically, we like to see these shows be done in 3.5 hours, 3.5 to 4. We don't want to keep the crowd longer. Saturday night, I think they'll see 12 different classes. I think there are approximately going to be, I would say the average is going to be 15 to 22 or 23 competitors in each class, in each division. And, you know, each division is set up with the limits, cubic inch of engines, the turbo size, and the same with the pickups. Lots of their specs, what they weigh, if they got street tires or if they got pulling tires on, which are cut. And then the multi-engine mods, which is they're kind of by themselves. There's two of them. There's actually a light limited modified, which is a single engine. But then the multi-engines are a 7,200-pound class where they, you know, they'll run Hemis, they'll run Fords, Chevys, but like I said, a lot for everybody.
And certainly a lot of fun on the way. Thunder in the Valley, July 9th, 10th, and 11th at Rock Valley, Iowa, just over the border. And then some Kurt Coima, who is going to be racing in the Pro Stock Division out of Rock Valley, Iowa, our guest right now on the ESPN Hotline. Kurt, you're on your way to Oklahoma to take part in a similar event. In terms of the participants in this event, there's a lot of them. What percentage do you think you would consider local? How broad is Tractor Pull event as far as this draw for the event coming up in a couple weeks in Rock Valley?
We actually have one other competitor in our class that is from Rock Valley. Mm-hmm. But as far as the other competitors, they're all over the United States. Mm-hmm. We pull with what they call the Outlaw Association, which stems from Minnesota to Texas to Illinois, Nebraska, South Dakota. So it's kind of a Midwest deal, but north and south is a ways. So we have a lot of competitors from all over the country and put a lot of miles on. There's a lot of Texas pullers, and a lot of them always joke with us. By the time they get out of Texas, they're still only halfway. You know, it's takes them longer to get out of Texas than it does to get to Rock Valley.
And those of us that have driven through Texas definitely understand that. Kurt Coima of Thunder in the Valley, our guest. Kurt, before we cut you loose, man, for listeners out there that are going to make the trip out for the first time to Thunder in the Valley in a couple weeks, again, July 9th, 10th, and 11th, maybe those with youngsters, give us some pointers and some tips and also what to expect food-wise, environment-wise, and also for youngsters, do you recommend ear protection? Does it get pretty loud? Give us some tips and pointers and maybe a little bit about the overall experience at being at an event like Thunder in the Valley.
I would say ear protection is definitely a good thing to do for the young kids, because these modifieds and whatnot, you can feel the ground shake and they put off a tremendous amount of noise. Food wise, we're getting known for our ribeye sandwich in our concession stands. The food is excellent, so come with an empty stomach. The fire department has the beer garden, which all the money goes to the fire department. The pits. The other thing, the pits are wide open. That's the other great thing about the sport. The pullers are happy to answer any questions. We always let kids sit on our tractors, take pictures. There's T-shirts handed out quite often, lots of fan stuff. It's just, you'll be blown away. I mean, you'll want to come back again.
And certainly it's a big-time summer event. You can find more information, rockvalleypoll.com. Again, Thunder in the Valley, Thunder in Rock Valley, Iowa, July 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's Kurt Coima. Kurt, go get him this week and in a couple weeks at Thunder in the Valley. Thanks so much for the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, great stuff there. Kurt Coima highlighting an upcoming summer must-do event in our neck of the woods. Again, just across the border, Rock Valley, Iowa. It's Thunder in the Valley, July 9th, 10th, and 11th. I got some tickets to give away right now. I got a two-pack to give away. If you would like to go for the first time, or maybe you're a lifer, maybe you're already sucked into Tractor Pull and the world there, Thunder in the Valley, pair of tickets up for grabs right now as we go to break. 605-362-3776. Thunder in the Valley coming up a couple weeks away, July 9th, 10th, or the 11th. You can use the pair of tickets for any day, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Friday, 6:30. Saturday, a 6 o'clock go time across the border in Rock Valley for Thunder in the Valley. Tickets up for grabs. First come, first served right now. 605-362-3776. That number, 605-362-3776. Coming up next, the identity crisis, NBA draft recap, and more right here on Overtime.
Three. Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. Burt Ramin back here with you in the studio seat. Kurt Coima, our guest moments ago, headlining and highlighting Thunder in the Valley across the border, Rock Valley, Iowa, coming up in early July. The dates for that great event, a one-of-a-kind event there. Tractor pull July 9th, 10th, and 11th. You can get in for $25. Details and tickets, rockvalleypull.com. Also have some more tickets to give away as we move forward closer to that event. Also, right around the corner this weekend, Rock the Country, rocking the fairgrounds here in Sioux Falls. WH Lyon Fairgrounds Saturday, Sunday. Kid Rock, the headliner on Saturday, joined by Treaty Oak Revival, Chris Jansen, Uncle Cracker, Colt Ford, and so many more. And then on Sunday, Stained, the headliner, joined by Brantley Gilbert, Marshall Tucker Band, Ashley Cook, Austin Snell, and more. RockTheCountry.com for your tickets. I have one final pair of tickets. They'll get you in both days, Saturday and Sunday, this weekend. You can win them right now if you can tell me who the heck I'm talking about in this week's edition of the Identity Crisis on Overtime.
I don't know. Who are you?
Me? I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's Identity Crisis on Overtime.
All right, I'm going to give you a second to put it on, strap it up. The thinking caps need to go on right now. Think about the time of the year. Think about what just happened last night as we dive into the Identity Crisis, brought to you by the original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. For the very best in breakfast, you can check out OPH at the corner of 41st and Kiwanis. We're talking crispy, thick bacon, fresh-squeezed OJ, always hot coffee, huge omelets, and more, always served with a smile at OPH. A former NBA player on my mind, this player, clue number one, was a center. Clue number two, this player wore number 52 and number 20 in his NBA career, which was up and down and was not pretty. Played in the NBA, was in the NBA from 2007 to 2014. This player went to Ohio State, played for the Blazers and the Miami Heat. Who the heck am I talking about today? 605-362-3776. If you know the answer, you're going to score a pair of tickets for both days to Rock the Country this weekend right here in Sioux Falls at the WH Lyon Fairgrounds. Kid Rock and Treaty Oak Revival, the headliners on Saturday. Stained and Brantley Gilbert on Sunday. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
What's your name?
Turn down the radio in the background for me so I don't blast my ears off here. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew. What's today's correct answer, Andrew?
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Not a pretty career at all. A bustaroo, if you will, for Greg Oden. He was an Indianapolis area prep and a generational talent. And the body, frankly, just fell apart. Went to Ohio State. Pretty darn good in college. Number one overall pick in the 2007 NBA draft. Only played, and we put that kind of sparingly, played in quotations till 2014. Very limited in a short-ish NBA career. Andrew, our correct answer today with the Identity Crisis. Andrew, you can hang on hold or give me a call back at the end of the segment. Get you hooked up with your prize pack, which includes a pair of tickets, the final pair of tickets that I have for Rock the Country this weekend at the WH Lyon Fairgrounds, celebrating 250 years of freedom. RockTheCountry.com for your tickets today. Greg Oden, memorable name, memorable bust in the NBA and the NBA draft. Speaking of last night's NBA draft, after losing nearly 200 games over the past 3 years, the Washington Wizards were a very deserving holder of the top pick. They ushered in a new era last night by drafting BYU freshman forward A.J. DeBonta with the number one overall pick in the draft last night. The Wizards selected DeBonta over Kansas freshman guard Darren Peterson to help turn around the franchise. Entering the draft, DeBonta and Peterson were widely considered to be the top two prospects. Being the number one pick meant a lot to me, said DeBonta, who is in tribute to his father, called by his full name, Anicet DeBonta Jr. Went on to say, obviously, me being number one throughout all my high school career, I definitely wanted to be a staple to be the number one in the NBA draft, be in the same conversation with LeBron and Cooper Flagg, Allen Iverson, and guys like that. For the franchise in the city of Washington, D.C., the selection of DeBonta is a significant moment, notes ESPN.com. Wizards haven't made the playoffs, since 2021 and have not been past the second round since 1979. When the then Bullets lost in the NBA Finals, Dabanza joins John Wall, 2010, Kwame Brown, 2001, as Washington's only other number one picks in their history. I know they're super hungry, AJ said of DC's love for basketball. Obviously, they got a great young core. Potential is there, obviously, so them adding me, I think I can help them a little bit. Them re-signing Trae Young, having AD, having good vets along with a young core, I think the Wizards can do big things. After finishing just 17-65 last year, color me optimistic about DC basketball. Alex Sarr, Kyshawn George, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, Bub Carrington, and more on the roster. Not even mentioning Trae Young and Anthony Davis. I feel like that is a functional team. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs. Could they? Yeah, they could if things go really, really right. We're not sure about the overall commitment level to Anthony Davis. Where he is medically is always a concern in his career. Trae Young, surprisingly, back with the squad. Big deal. Maybe not overly surprising, but surprising the long-term commitment there, at least for now, from D.C. We'll see how it all figures itself out. Come out in the wash, if you will, in Washington, D.C., with A.J. Dabanza as the top overall selection. Well, pretty impressive stuff last night for the Michigan Wolverine men's basketball program. Less than 6 hours after the Mavericks officially announced Dusty May as their new head coach yesterday, they then drafted one of May's former players with their first pick in the NBA draft. The Mavericks picked Michigan forward Merez Johnson Jr. at number 9 overall, with Johnson reuniting with May and somewhat surprisingly becoming the first of 3 Wolverine players off the board in the lottery stage of the first round. Yoxel Lendeberg and Ade Mara were selected at number 11 and 12, respectively. Johnson is a 6'9" forward, started 40 games and helped lead the Wolverines to the national title last year, averaged over 13 points and 7 rebounds per game as a sophomore after transferring from Illinois, also established himself as one of the linchpins of Michigan's dominant defense. And that's a pretty cool story for Johnson Jr. and Dusty May to reunite there in Dallas after being so cozy in a national championship winning team and locker room just last year. But 3 Wolverines all in the lottery last night. Impressive stuff for Michigan basketball. You know, one story we did not get last night that many were expecting to have some sort of news or a feeling or a breaking news banner come across their iPhone. Boston Celtics president of basketball operations Brad Stevens said last night that all-star forward Jaylen Brown remains, quote, valued by the organization. Stevens' comments came a day after ESPN's Shams Charania reported that Boston had offered Brown and 2 first-round picks to the Bucks as part of a trade package that was rebuked by the Milwaukee Bucks for Giannis Antetokounmpo. That proposal didn't materialize, and the Bucks agreeing to send Giannis to the Miami Heat for a differing offer, multiple players, worse players, but a lot more as far as draft capital and kicking the can down the road conversation go in that executed deal with Miami. Stevens didn't specifically address that trade when he met with reporters after Boston selected Houston forward Chris Cynic Jr. with their first selection in the NBA draft last night, but he did speak about the Celtics' current relationship with Brown, their first-round pick a decade ago. Stevens had this to say: Jaylen Brown is a big part of us. Never going to predict the future. Every indication, everything I think about over the last few years has been building around those guys. You never know. But at the same time, the one thing I want to make very clear is how valued he's always been. He's been amazing. Been an amazing teammate and a great person to be around. Stevens added that he and Brown had multiple one-on-one meetings this offseason, as they usually do, and that he has remained in contact with Brown's agent. Here's what he had to say there. With all the rumor mill and all that stuff, his name being splashed all over the place, that's not easy. We certainly wanted to be as proactive and upfront with that as possible. I thought we had really good, candid conversations. I'll always keep those private. Think it's appropriate regardless of what content of those conversations is like. Brown is still just 29 years old, coming off a career year in which he averaged 29.7 rebounds and 5 assists to finish 6th in the NBA MVP voting and also earned all NBA second team honors. Celtics lost in the first round of the playoffs to Philly, marking the first time they failed to advance since 2021. Times are a changing. You know, a couple years ago, after a title, You had Tatum and Brown, and we were talking about they got it done. Good for them. They're both stars. They're both better than we were giving them credit for. And now we're kind of resetting here after a year in which they missed the entirety. Should have missed the entirety, not the whole thing, with Jason Tatum out. He admirably makes his way back. Celtics were one of the favorites to win the whole darn thing when the playoffs started. That feels like a zillion years ago. But as we move forward into this, and a star player's name is not just rumored, and that's what's kind of rich about Brad Stevens' commentary is, your name is splashed all over the place. Well, you have made him available, Brad. He's in the conversation for the trade for Giannis. He's out there. He's clearly available via trade. And when teams smell the blood in the water that Jaylen Brown is included in a trade package offer to Milwaukee, I'm sure the phone has been buzzing. Hey, what do you think about Jaylen Brown? What do you think about this player on our roster? What do you think about these draft picks? We got some flexibility. We'd like to send some cash your way, pick swaps, what have you. I'm sure the phone's buzzing. And there's many layers of conversation here and many layers of meaning in Boston. Because you can take Brad Stevens at his word and say, he really does like Jaylen Brown. Maybe it was just a, hey, maybe we might pivot and get this player instead. We still love you, Jaylen. It didn't work out. We want you here. We're going to commit to you long term. We'll see about that. But in addition to that, you also have this value formation. This happens in the NFL all the time. No. Alvin Kamara's not on the block. We love Alvin Kamara. He's a student of the game. Great teammate. Great locker room guy. Wait a minute. Somebody's calling me. Second round pick. Okay. You got yourself a deal on Alvin Kamara. That's an example, but that happens all the time in the sports world. The fluffing up of the value, the reaffirming the commitment. He's not going anywhere. He'll never be off our roster. We love Jaylen Brown, unless you dial this number right now and let's make a deal. We'll see about the future of Jaylen Brown. Brown has 3 years remaining on a five-year, $285 million extension. He signed recently back in 2023, and he is eligible to sign a two-year, $142 million extension on July the 26th. So that's going to be interesting. July is going to be that prohibitive date where we find out a lot about Brown's plans, the Celtics' plans, and other teams that could come calling Boston for his services. And lastly here from the NBA, the NBA draft round number 2 is on the way, coming up tonight, as that'll get going right around 7 o'clock Central on ESPN. Other breaking news out of the NBA we'll get to in just a moment, but let's stay on track. NBA draft coming your way tonight. It'll be round number 2. And we've got the Minnesota Timberwolves up to bat pretty darn early tonight. They hold overall pick number 3 of the night. That a couple days ago belonged to Brooklyn. They will pick 3rd behind the New York Knicks and also the Memphis Grizzlies. So it's Knicks, Grizzlies, then Minnesota. You got Cleveland following that and Denver pick 5 of the night. Minnesota does not have an additional second round pick. Actually, they do at pick number 59 overall tonight. 29 overall tonight, 59 overall in the draft itself. But the link up here, the projection at ESPN.com, Minnesota at pick number 33. What makes the most sense? Well, another team that's having a lot of draft picks, a lot of projected picks in round number 2, predictably, is the Duke Blue Devils. Sophomore Isaiah Evans is the projection at ESPN.com for what the T-Wolves do at pick number 33. They note his strengths as hanging his hat on his long-range shooting, averaged 7 threes per game at Duke this past year, capable of hitting tough looks off balance from deep. And the verdict here for Minnesota and a potential draft of Isaiah Evans, sophomore out of Duke. Evans took an all-around step forward this year, can hang his hat on his shot-making as he continues to develop. It may take a little more time for him to become a winning contributor in the NBA, but shooters of his caliber and size are often in demand. And you're not going to get, unless you absolutely strike gold, nugget pun included, on a second-round pick like Nikola Jokic, you're not going to get a out-of-the-gates, out-of-the-shoot contributor in the NBA draft round 2 tonight. So for Minnesota and for all these other teams out there hoping to strike gold, it might be a gold strike. It might just not be this year or next year. Their developmental projections, project players, and also a lot of international players could come off the board tonight in the NBA draft. Lastly, from the NBA, as we say so long to hour number 1, Lakers star Austin Reeves intends to sign a four-year, $185 million max contract to return to the franchise. Reeves declined his $15 million player option to pave the way for this new max deal. What's better, $15 million or $185? That's an easy answer. It's the richest contract in NBA history for an undrafted player. The Lakers and Reeves' agents worked through discussions over the last 10 days after teams were able to negotiate with their own free agents. The Reeves agreement has no impact on the Lakers' cap flexibility this summer, as the team projected salary space takes into account Reeves' $20.9 million cap hold. He will sign last after the Lakers exhaust room and will make $41.3 million in year number one. Reeves was expected to receive free agent interest from multiple teams, including Detroit, on a max level salary. Lakers stepped up on Wednesday to lock in their homegrown talent. Pretty cool story. Austin Reeves there, a four-year, $185 million max contract, back with the Lakers, and the highest contract, biggest contract ever for an NBA undrafted player. Pretty cool stuff there. Minnesota Timberwolves again pick third tonight in round number two of the 2026 NBA draft. That is our number one look at what is ahead tonight in the NBA draft. When we come back, we reset at the top of the hour on a Wednesday. Headlines and highlights on the way, latest from the NFL, whip around coverage from the sports world as well, a couple big injuries shaking up Major League Baseball, and we conclude the Wednesday edition of the show talking Augustana Viking Athletics. AD Josh Morton talking about the new hire made to lead the softball program and the search now underway for the new coach of the volleyball program here for Augustana in the heart of Sioux Falls. We'll take a break, come back. Hour number two on a Wednesday edition of the show is next right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.